In his introduction of Rod Beckstrom at the Government Information Security Leadership Awards, Mike Castagna, the Chief Information Security Officer at the Department of Commerce, described someone who, at first blush, wouldn't seem like the most likely candidate to become the nation's top cybersecurity cop.
He founded several companies, including CAT Software Incorporated, which he took public as a chairman and CEO. He has co-authored 4 books, including an excellent one, which I highly recommend, called The Starfish and the Spider, The Unstoppable Power of Leaderless Organizations. In that book, he presents new models for analyzing organizational competitive strategies. He is a graduate of Stanford University with an MBA and a BA with honors and distinction. So who better to lead such an effort than an entrepreneur? An entrepreneur with a fresh perspective on problem solving.
Normally, you'd expect someone who works for the Homeland Security Department to see the world through the lens of the 9/11 attacks. And in fact, Rod Beckstrom was on board an airplane at New York's LaGuardia Airport that morning, waiting to take off on a business trip. He says all that changed, however, when word of one commercial jet and then another crashed into the towers of the World Trade Center, a place where he often held business meetings.
So I felt utterly hopeless watching those towers burn with people I knew inside. And so I did the only thing that I thought I could do after realizing I couldn't do anything, and that was I crossed my hands and I closed my eyes and I called on a higher power to help those people in that time of incredible tragedy and stress. And a few moments later, a message of great clarity and simplicity came to me that I'll never forget for the rest of my life. And that message was, it's a small world. It's a fragile world. And no one is safe until everyone is safe. And you are called to serve the peace. Now, this is quite shocking to me for a number of reasons. Number one, small world, fragile world, got that, bought that. I'm an environmentalist, okay? Easy, okay. I hear that, great. No one is safe until everyone is safe. Like many of you, I've traveled around the world. You know, I've been in 60 countries. I've seen acute poverty and the results of bad water, bad health systems, and corrupt dictators, and communists and other regimes. And no one's safe until everyone's safe. And then finally, you're called to serve the peace. I mean, I'm a high-tech CEO. I'm an environmentalist. You know, and I've never been to a peace rally in my life.
As it became for many Americans, 9/11 became a life-changing epiphany for Rod Beckstrom. He sold off many of his internet-based startup companies and turned his energy and skills to what he calls the greater good.
And then we had a crazy idea. And we decided to build a network of CEOs working for peace. And we decided to model it on guess which network? What's the last network on earth you'd want to model a peace network after? Right? A terror network. So we decided to model our network on Al-Qaeda. Now that was actually ended up being a good architectural decision, but there was a problem. No one had a model of Al-Qaeda. So we had to develop one. And it took us 3.5 years to decode how Al-Qaeda worked systematically as a decentralized network. And, you know, so Al-Qaeda had cells of 5 people. We created CEO cells of 8 to 12, typically across a war zone. Started with a group of CEOs that lived through wars around the world was our first group. Our second group was Israel and Palestinians. Next group was Jordanians and people from New England. Next one was Saudis and Americans. And then all of a sudden, the network spread to India and Pakistan.
Still with us? Good, because this is where the story gets interesting. Rod Beckstrom says that last CEO cell, including company execs from India and Pakistan, served as the catalyst for just the kind of result for which he had designed his network. He recalled how the group first met in Dubai on January 23, 2003.
That circle, when we met, the two countries were in a state of war. Two nuclear powers, one of them quite unstable, arguably, and as Clinton and others have referred to, the hottest flash zone on Earth and the most dangerous. They were in a state of war. They were at a standstill in the south. Fighting was active in Kashmir. In a day and a half of brainstorming there in Dubai, which is in a nice neutral location right alongside both countries, the group came up with some ideas. And one was to do a symbolic border crossing. Because the border was shut, it was a war zone, the buffer on it. But these guys had access on their cell phones to Musharraf and also to Vajpayee, who was prime minister at the time. They called those two leaders and said, can we get a 15-minute clearance just to get together on the border for 15 minutes at the Wagga border? So on September 13th of 2003, a small group of Indian CEOs and their spouses and a small group of Pakistani CEOs and their spouses each walked from their respective countries together at Wagga border. The women put flowers around each other's necks. There was hugs. There were tears. It was very emotional. And it was on the page covers of every paper in the region the next day, 60 different papers, from the India Times to Al Jazeera. The border's been open ever since.
2 months later, says Beckstrom, his group helped broker an agreement between the two warring nations to allow a plane load of these same CEOs to fly from India to Pakistan. Pakistani President Musharraf not only welcomed the CEOs to his nation personally, he did so with this proclamation.
So we not only open the skies to you, but we open the skies to all flights from India and over flights, which was tantamount to ending the war, which in fact he did two days later with those people in his home, 144 Indian CEOs and 90 from Pakistan, and he presented a comprehensive 8-point peace plan with India. So that came out of this decentralized network of bringing CEOs together to work on issues they cared about. And what they cared about was the pressing issue of wars and strife in their countries in the wake of 9/11.
His work with those CEOs caught the attention of Mike McConnell, the director of national intelligence, who brought him to a brainstorming session that led eventually to this new job. Beckstrom says he's looking forward to using the collaboration tools of Web 2.0 to work with agency IT security officers, much as he did with his successful sales of CEOs.
You're the CEOs of cyber. You're the key ones to make this movement happen, and I'm really here to serve you in that mission and that endeavor. Well, thank you very much. It's a thrill to have a chance to work with you.
DHS's Rod Beckstrom. In Crystal City, I'm Max Kakis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.